Welcome back, everyone, to the Whiskey Raiders podcast. My name is Jay, better known as Take. It's good to have you back. We are following up a heavy hitter episode. We hit that Four Roses limited edition last week. It was quite frankly baller, but today we have a really cool whiskey as well. We're in our slugging season. John and I are back from the holidays. We've got a huge, I don't want to call it a mountain, but we do have a good stash of some crazy whiskey. And we'll be talking about them all spring long. So thanks for joining us here. You can catch the past episodes, but today it's all about the whiskey of the future. The whiskey we are drinking today is the Remus Gatsby Reserve. This is made by MGP. This is a blend of their 75%, 21% rye mash bill and their 36% rye mash bill. So this is going to be cool, and it retails for about $250. But before we get into it, how are you doing, John?
Well, slight miscommunication there on the before we get into it part, because I already got into it, but I will say that I'm doing great.
Love it. Well, it's good to be back. We've got another episode here. You've been into the whiskey. I have mine poured here. This is kind of a cool release because, you know, a lot of people don't care, frankly, about the regular Remus, you know, the George Remus bourbon. And a lot of people have started to care about the Remus Repeal Reserve, which is that blend. You know, it's that 100 proof blend of a bunch of the different recipes and ages and stuff. But truly, this year, you know, the Gatsby Reserve is the cream of the crop when it comes to MGP releases. And it makes me feel a little bit high class with the Gatsby name, you know, the Gatsby Reserve here. And it's bottled at 49% ABV, which I think is kind of interesting. But this is, you know, this is the top of the roost if you're an MGP fanboy.
And that's still cask strength, correct? That just under 100 proof?
Correct, yeah. So this is old barrels. These are supposedly hand-picked. This is kind of like, you know, they spend all year picking these out. So some years it's higher proof, some years it's lower proof. This year is 15 years old and relatively low, I might say.
Man, it's nice. It's very very bold on the nose, very punchy. There's a lot to it, a lot of layers there. Really kind of takes you on a flavor path, if you will,
where what I thought was like
richness going on.
I'm curious if you got the root beer note that I got, because I was like, this is like black pepper and root beer with like a maple undertone. And that to me,
I
was
feel like
unique.
I haven't dug deep enough to that. The first thing that stood out to me was like a cola note. So like, we're probably walking very similar trails there. It sounds like we could probably end up at that same conclusion. There was definitely a sweetness underneath it, yet I want to get a couple more swirls in this glass because I feel like it's still evolving here just as I give this thing the old, you know, rinse and repeat here a couple times.
Yeah, pull and up a seat to nice. The old soda fountain.
Yeah, this is definitely the old soda fountain going on here. Maybe I'll get myself a little root beer float.
There you go. You know, I'm always interested when I see these big age statements because 15 years is a, I don't want to call it a very long time, but, you know, it is an objectively long time when you're an American whiskey, right? Like a lot of brands are super proud that they're rolling out 7, 8, 9 year expressions. And if you're over 10, it's premium and everyone's charging a bunch of money and stuff. But, you know, this is 15-year-old MGP. They've definitely done a good job of kind of holding on to some of these barrels in recent years. But at $250, you know, I get more questions like, hey, Jay, should I buy this? Rather than like, hey, Jay, is this good whiskey? And I think that that's really interesting.
Yeah, this comes back to something that I feel like I've been saying more in the last 18 months than I had in like the previous 4 or 5 years of writing about and talking about whiskey, in that flavor is subjective. We all know this, right? Like, just to use a brief example, I tend to like things that bring a good layer of oak, whereas when they get really into my wheelhouse is usually when they're leaving your wheelhouse. They're too oaky. They're too bitter. They're too tannic. But I'm sort of like, yeah, keep that coming. This is all good for me. Like, send that down my way. So where flavor can be so subjective, I feel like value is also equally or perhaps even more subjective. Like, I might say, oh, yeah, this tastes good enough for me to spend $80 on. And you might say, geez, $80. I don't know. I might have paid like $40 for that, dude. Like, you're probably shrooming. You should take it easy. And like, while those things could be true, the other side of the coin could be something to the effect of, hey, this is a really high dollar whiskey. Is it worth it? Should I buy this? And that's where that question comes into play. Like, is it good whiskey? Should I buy it? Like, where those roads all meet get so hard to decipher for every individual that really what makes the most sense, and this is like the most cliche advice ever, is just to find palates that you align with and see what other folks say about it. Like, if you are somebody scared off by a little bit of oak, you should probably listen closer to Jay than you should to me. And then as you go down that road, if he says, hey, this is really killer whiskey, I would pay for this no matter what the cost. That would be a good way to help sort of make those decisions. Maybe. I mean, I just feel like I'm going to get into this whiskey a little bit more, maybe come up with some better advice or some worse advice.
Yeah, I mean, it's really valuable to find a palate that you agree with. And I think another interesting part of this whiskey, too, is that, like, a lot of people have strong opinions about the MGP mash bills, right? Like, a lot of people, like, you know, I really love the 36%, you know, they call that the high rye, even though the low rye, and I'm using air quotes here with my fingers, like, the low rye is still 21% rye, which is an objectively high rye for most producers. So, like, you know, what I think is fascinating here is, like, people are like, ah, I'm in the 36 camp or the 21 camp, but this release is a blend of both of those things, and I think it shows. Like, we have a lot of that, like, really beautiful baking spice from that much heavier rye mash bill.
Yeah.
We have a lot of that, like, that cola, that sweetness, that caramel, that honey, and, like, the tobacco and black tea of the lower rye mash bill. So there's a ton going on, and I think it takes a lot to combine those two and come up with a really cool product, because I think that's how we start to stretch into these older age statements without just picking up pure oak and tannin and all that crazy stuff.
Yeah, I'm with you. I get these good layers of sweetness and spice that work together nicely. The oak sort of carries through, but not in an overpowering way. Like, it's just a component in there, at least right. For me. And I feel like if it were too strong, you would have been screaming about it already. But the like, this layered honey and sort of spicy background works really nicely. I get these sort of cola vibes in the background with it as well, which sort of, like, come in peaks, like, between, like, spice or sweetness. So, like, overall, as, like, a first taste of this for me, I'm pretty impressed with it overall. The mouthfeel carries pretty nicely, as I would expect. I feel like a lot of the MGP stuff over 8 or 9 years really tends to hold a good viscosity. This isn't what I would call heavy on the palate. I wish it was, because I would go nuts for it. But I do think that this coats nicely and holds on. And for a second recording in a row here, I feel like we're talking about the proof is not all that high. But I don't feel like, man, I wish this was like 10 proof points higher. Like, this to me is doing everything I want it to. I'm not sitting here being like, shit, this would be way better at 120. I'm just like, yes, the Gatsby. Very nice.
I'm right there with you, right? Like, I noted it as well. Like, this has a moderate palate. It's not super viscous, but it's very satisfying. I love the finish, and I love that I'm getting, like, this sweet tea, black tea note, because that's hard to find in big, tannic, old, like, powerful, like, strong whiskeys, like, that are crazy high proof. So this one, I don't want to call it mellow, but it feels, you know, it feels very comfortable with the proof point it is. And as a result, like, I'm getting a lot of other flavors that are harder to pick out at much higher proof points. And honestly, that black tea, sweet tea note in whiskey, I think I'm a big fan of.
Yeah, I could see that doing a lot of things for you. Like, and granted, not that I think it's always the best practice to take a really expensive release and turn it into a cocktail, but I do think that this could end up making a really crazy cocktail. Like, this could be one of those things where you don't need to throw in, like, your standard Angostura, like, aromatic bitters. You're like, maybe you hit this with, like, a background of, like, a cherry bitters and a little bit of orange bitters or something like that. Like, this could do a lot of cool stuff in a glass, I feel like.
That's actually a really good point, because usually I'm thinking, like, oh shoot, would this be good in a cocktail? But I didn't think that here. And a lot of the issues that I have in my household when I make cocktails are adapting crazy high proof things to a cocktail spec, right? But at 49%, we're just a little bit off of that 45% kind of, I don't want to call it standard, right? But, like, you know, there's 45% is a totally normal proof for whiskey. You know, we're typically trying to avoid those, like, well or rail, like, 40% ABV things. So, like,
right,
you know, 49% compared to 45% for a well-made upscale cocktail is really easy to adjust the spec to, instead of, like, 45% to 62.5% or 63%. Like, that's a totally different ball game and really hard to make a good drink with.
Yeah, absolutely. And also, like, yeah, it's just difficult in general. You end up having to, like, really, like, you know, do, like, an absinthe rinse on a glass or something. Like, there's just, like, so many things that have to get into it. It gets complicated. I look at a cocktail recipe like that, and I'm just like, well, fuck's sake. Like, there's no chance I'm going to take the time to do that. Right. I don't know what half of those ingredients are, let alone do I have them. Give me a fucking break. So when you have something like this where it's like, shit, this could probably make one of the coolest old fashions you've had in a while. Could be cool. Would this lend itself nicely to something like a Gold Rush? I'm not sure if I would go that direction with it personally.
A little heavy on the oak, I think.
But yeah, but like I think something like an old fashioned or a little bit more of a traditional cocktail, this could be like pretty cool with it. You know, you might even get away with doing a Manhattan with this, although typically I just like this to be a little bit spicier, but that's just because I'm a rye guy. Anyway, long story short, this is pretty freaking good. I do like it a lot. There's a lot going on in it, and it brings in layers that I wasn't really expecting. The blend of mash bills is really cool.
It is cool. And I have to say, yeah, I mean, if there's no better slogan for this, we'll just call it keeping the math out of cocktails, right? Like, you can just move this over, give it a try. I do kind of want to give this a go in an old-fashioned. It would be a cocktail fitting for the Gatsby era. Like, I would don my top hat and my monocle and oh, yes, you know, welcome to the parlor. Let's get the Gatsby Reserve old-fashioned, because that's what it would feel like. I'm using a whiskey called Gatsby, and I'm putting a $250 bourbon in old-fashioned. But, you know, it's science, and I think that someone's got to do it.
You know, you're right. And I do feel like for the amount of times I have used the Leonardo DiCaprio version of Great Gatsby gift, I'm sorry, GIF, when he's like raising the champagne glass, yeah, like
the one GIF from that movie that we all know. Yeah.
So many goddamn times that it feels unfair to Leo at this point. It just seems like, hey, let's make a cocktail and we can finally just create our own raising of the glass GIF that we could share with everybody else.
Totally. Well, I'm right there with you. This is a fitting celebration whiskey. It's a great pour. You know, if it's for you on the value scale, that's up to the drinker at home. But I think, you know, at the end of the day, what's important is that it is good whiskey. It's fun. And most importantly, too, it's different, right? Like, you can't go out and get a bourbon just like this from someone else, which I think is a lot of the novelty. So
that's a great point.
I mean, you know, and that's kind of like once you stack up a bunch of bottles on your shelf, it's not always about like, OK, let me get 12 of this exact one thing. It's like, let me get some variety. Let me get something new, interesting, different. And I think that this really wears that hat nicely.
Yeah, that's a great way to look at this. I hadn't thought of it that way. Whereas so many of the things that we try, it's like, OK, I can sort of see like this is it hits a little bit of the notes of this, a little bit of the notes of that. If you're a fan of this, you might like that. This is just like if you're a fan of nice bourbon that has some age, brings in depth of flavor, this is it. So there really is not a whole hell of a lot of stuff out there anywhere near the same flavor profile as this. Right. Unique, and it's delicious, and I like it.
Well, I think that is a perfect note to cap it off. If you are looking for the reviews of this whiskey, mine is up at whiskeyraiders.com, and I believe that John's will be up at thebourbonfinder.com soon. Together, we are the Whiskey Raiders podcast, so if you're looking for more from John, you can find him on Instagram. He's at The Bourbon Finder. As I mentioned, he has his own website, thebourbonfinder.com. And I live, breathe, and hang out at whiskeyraiders.com all the time. So we are always tasting new whiskeys. We've got a bunch of great past episodes if you want to check one out. We just covered Four Roses Limited Edition from last year in a previous episode, so chase that guy down. But in the meantime, guys, thanks for stopping by. You can check us out on the line, and we will catch you in a future podcast episode. We've got a brand new whiskey coming up soon. Cheers, guys.
Cheers.